Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news podcast. So today we'll start talking about SteamOS. SteamOS 3.6 is now in preview, and it completely updates the entire Arch base of the distribution, with now using the kernel 6.5, the latest Mesa drivers 24.1, but also improved performance overall. And in terms of SteamOS specific features, they apparently improved how the display looks on the Steam Deck, with better color balance, better gamma uniformity, and generally just making the display look a bit nicer. The Steam UI should also be more responsive now, which has been an issue I've had on my Steam Deck ever since I got it. It doesn't feel slow, but it never feels entirely smooth, so I will try out this preview to see if it fixes the problem. Now, the desktop mode of SteamOS is still stuck on KDE 5.27. They now have 5.27.10, but there is no Plasma 6 for now. And the BIOS of the Steam Deck was also updated, bringing overclocking controls for the Steam Deck LCD model. They were, as far as I know, already available for the Steam Deck OLED, but not for the LCD, so now it's done. And there are a few other interesting changes. You have better pairing with Apple AirPods for people who use that, but you also gain the ability to wake the Steam Deck using a controller, meaning it should now behave like a proper console. You could plug in your Steam Deck to your TV with the Steam Deck dock, connect a Bluetooth controller, and when you turn on the controller, it will wake up the Steam Deck from sleep immediately, so you don't have to get up and press a button. It's a little time-saving thing, but it is actually quite cool. Now, you will also be able, through the Steam Deck dock, to use the HDMI, I think it's CEC protocol, meaning that it now supports TV remote inputs, TV wake-up, and TV input switching over HDMI. So you can probably just turn on your Steam Deck, and it could turn on your TV and automatically switch to the right channel on your TV, the right device, and the right HDMI port. So these are pretty solid updates for Steam Deck users, but also for anyone using SteamOS on another device, because I'm pretty sure all these changes will make their way onto HoloISO, for example. They will get the same update. And so it could turn that into a really nice console OS. Back when I used my desktop PC plugged into my TV and used that as a console, the only real thing annoying me using HoloISO was that I could not wake the PC up from sleep by turning on the computer. I had to get off my lazy ass and press that button, and my PC is not in a super easy to access location, so it was kind of annoying. Having the ability to do that just by turning on the controller, just like any other game console, is actually pretty big. Now, there was also a report from Foronix pointing out that the latest big Linux releases, namely Ubuntu 24.04 and Fedora 40, are still lagging behind Intel's own distribution called Clear Linux, at least in terms of performance when it comes to Intel CPUs. Clear Linux is a distro made by Intel, and the main selling point is that it's compiled and optimized for recent Intel CPUs, but apparently those optimizations also give better performance on some AMD CPUs. And they notably use what they call a thin layout optimizer, which optimizes the code layout of compiled binaries on Clear Linux for optimized performance. Basically, they just rejig how the code is laid out so the binary is more responsive and more efficient. Foronix performed their usual benchmarks, and they found that using a Core i9-14900K, Clear Linux had an 8% average performance advantage over the latest Ubuntu and Fedora releases. It even performed better than the default state of these two distros when using the power save mode on Clear Linux by about 5-6%. And if you're wondering, why isn't everyone using all of these optimizations then? The answer is probably twofold. First, Clear Linux optimizes their packages and their kernel and everything they compile on that distro for recent instruction sets of x86 CPUs, notably for Intel specific CPUs. Using these could mean older computers are left behind because they don't come with these newer instruction sets. It's sort of the same issue with the potential transition of Ubuntu to x86 v3, which would leave out a bunch of older PCs. And second, Clear Linux has not upstreamed a lot of these specific patches, which could indicate that either the code for these patches isn't exactly stellar, or that it could break compatibility with certain devices. Maybe it's just that they never found the time or never really wanted to upstream all those patches. Maybe they know they would get rejected on some basis or another, but it could also be that they're not fully ready for everyone to use and enjoy. Although, I don't think anyone using Clear Linux has complained that the distro isn't stable at all. In the end, all of these optimizations that Intel brought look pretty nice. And as I said, apparently they also improve performance on AMD CPUs. So at some point, it could be good to see if they can be added to the upstream Linux kernel, or if at least the compilation optimizations can be brought to other distributions as well. Now, 8% might not feel insanely faster, especially since it's on a very high-end, very expensive CPUs. You probably can expect those gains to lower as you go down the chain of Intel CPUs. And maybe 8% is not enough for a distro change for one single computer. But when you're talking about hundreds of servers, it could make a huge difference for a company. And so this performance advantage, I don't think a lot of people know about it. I didn't before reading this article, but it could be big for Intel's distro. Okay, and finally, AMD has open sourced the documentation for the Micro Engine Scheduler firmware. It's a little controller that all their recent RDNA 3 GPUs have on board. This part is still closed source in terms of code, and the documentation was closed source as well, which led to some issues for people contributing to open source AMD drivers, because if you don't know how this little controller will schedule tasks on the GPU itself, then it's harder to write a super efficient driver, because you don't really know how, once the driver has received the instructions, they will get actually executed on the hardware. The source code for the firmware is still closed source for now, but they're apparently putting it through their usual legal and review process in order to open up that source code as well. For now, the documentation is a 54-page long PDF document that details how the little controller works and how it is used for task scheduling on AMD GPUs. And apparently AMD is also working on opening up more components through 2024. They've already started making their Open Silicon Library project available as well, which will open up more parts of the boot process and of the firmware for AMD devices. And you really cannot fault AMD here. There are still some parts of their CPUs and GPUs that are not open, but they're probably the best citizen for open source these days. Even for the things that are currently closed, there seem to be plans to eventually open everything up. And there are inklings that Nvidia might start doing the same thing. Some of their employees have started contributing to Nuvo and NVK, but they're really far from the level of open source support AMD has provided the Linux community over the years. Okay, so that will do it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, thank you all for supporting what I do, and I guess you will hear me in the next one on Monday. Bye!